Hare Krishna. I'll be able to give class about a half hour, and then I have to walk someplace. And then when I walk someplace, I'll be able to have discussions further. Just somehow or other, so many people are coming to the Holy Dham, and I have a group now here from Israel that are close to me. So let's begin. Okay, I'll start. Reading from the Yoga Sutras, Part 2, Text 20. The seer is merely the power of seeing. However, although pure, he witnesses the images of the mind. The seen, which is the gunas of prakriti and their effects, has been discussed in the above sutras. And now Patanjali turns his attention to the seer, drashtya. The seer is the purusha, the soul, or the innermost conscious self. He is the pure, undiluted power of consciousness, pure because untouched by any attribute, qualification, object, or predicate. He is neither the same as, nor at least when embodied, totally different from Buddhi intelligence, insofar as his knowledge of prakriti arises from his awareness of Buddhi. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanandana Salakaya Chaksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vansha Kalpa Turujascha Kripa Sindhu Vaibhaja Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A good or common or good definition of yoga, in one sense, could be that which gets rid of suffering. And this particular chapter is an exposition on suffering, outlining very clearly what is the cause of suffering and outlining what is the cause of suffering. It outlines the process of removing suffering, which is yoga. Remember, the first chapter was meditative absorption, which is really yoga. The exercises are just meant to facilitate you coming to that platform of goodness, purity, and peacefulness, where the mind can actually meditate, which means concentrate on a singular object, and there quell the mind, bring the mind to the platform of goodness, where it has the discriminatory power to distinguish between the soul and the body, which includes the subtle body, the mind, and neglect the identification and following of the subtle body and mind, and gradually dissipating that, that which you are not, to come to the platform of that which you are, which is the soul. And that platform is complete joy, peacefulness, and beyond suffering. So in this treatise about suffering, it discussed the fundamental material conceptions that are at the core of all suffering, and therefore those conceptions are called tormentors because they bind one to the body and mind. The suffering, in one sense, is not happening within the Purusha or the soul, but it's happening within the buddhi or the mind. It's just like a pot of water. Or the classic example is when one mistakes a rope for a snake and suffers. Yes, there's suffering, but the suffering, the cause of the suffering, is due to misidentification. It's not real. So this is a common conception and understanding that's there within all yogic practices, and in one sense, it's a very practical understanding that our suffering is due to misidentification, not due to reality. One great Vaishnav saint wrote a book, Reality is Beautiful. And when one has a basic trust or faith in reality, there's a certain fearlessness that arises in the heart, because one is thoroughly convinced that happiness is in the present, in the realization of what one is, not what one does not have or is aspire for or is trying to attain, but actually the platform of their self. If they can come in contact with the self, they will achieve the happiness that one is seeking. So it's a very intricate analysis and very, very thorough and quite clear also. And in this analysis of suffering, it describes karma, that when one acts with an identification with the mind, when you actually think that those thoughts and conceptions that are just coming constantly, that that's actually the self rather than something external to the self, that that's who you are, the man or the woman, or the this ethnicity or this ethnicity, or this, if you're actually identifying with that, and you act on that platform, to purify you of that conception, God's universal law of karma will give you reactions to acting on that platform, to purify you of that platform. And although that may be, there's two types of reactions, which is basically happiness and distress. And then it went into the platform that actually all is suffering, because even if you intensely fulfill your desires, this is on a yogic platform, a yogi realizes this, that even if you indulge your desires, it may give you temporary pleasure, but it'll increase those desires. And those desires themselves are what is causing suffering, because desire means I want, I don't have. And it burns. So the fulfillment of those desires, rather than the eradication of those desires, is what causes pain. And then he discusses we can counteract the future suffering. The suffering that we are experiencing now is due to our actions in the past. There's a very famous Chanakya shloka, famous moralist Chanakya Pandit. And it says, our decisions determine our fate. So we've already made bad decisions. We're already suffering for them. But the future is in our hands. And if we get proper knowledge and in an appropriate way, according to our level of spiritual evolution, our level of attachment, according to our condition, the scriptures prescribe various activities to very reasonably and appropriately elevate us if we actually have good knowledge and good guidance. Then we can eradicate our future suffering, and we should take this very, very seriously. And but absolute suffering is only counteracted by transcending. So the goal of all spiritual processes, even if our dharma or our duty is to satisfy our desires in a regulated way, the goal of that is to make our minds peaceful for the practice of spiritual life to eventually transcend them. I just got a blast of a speaker in my room, which made me lose my train of thought, and I will so it can be counteracted by liberation, that we have to have a real shift in our orientation. Rather than trying to enjoy the world as our ultimate goal, we have to transcend the world as our ultimate goal. And in the interim, we may enjoy to live, but we don't live to enjoy. We live to become liberated. So then it went into the cause of the suffering. And that's what we're discussing now. It's the conjunction between the seer or the soul, which is observing, and the seen, which is the body that we're identifying with. That identification causes suffering. The suffering is actually happening in the Buddhi or the intelligence or the mind or the chitta. Vikara, matter is transforming. We are not. But because we identify with matter, we fear death, which is the ultimate transformation of the particular field of activities we have now. So we're identifying with something, and therefore we are suffering. So this ignorance is the root cause of suffering, and therefore, to ultimately eradicate suffering, we need the proper knowledge. That's hopefully why the members listening to this class are now listening to this class, because we want to end our suffering, and we know inherently that we have to get knowledge, and we have to realize that knowledge. And to do that, we have to hear it. We have to hear. And it's the process of changing our vision and acting in such a way that we can realize the truth. By applying what we've understood as the truth, then we begin to see it as truth, and we act in a proper way,
to move us towards that goal with faith. Without faith, we can't move. So it describes these two things, the seer, that's us, the soul, and the seen. And the seen is described as composed of the matter, which is composed of these gunas, these subtle strands of matter that have different qualities, they mix in different ways, and they give a variety of experiences to the soul, an unlimited variety of experiences to the soul. And the desire for those experiences makes the soul identify with the body. So there's two things here. There's the seer, and there's the seen. And now we're discussing the seer, the witness. And it's not the same as buddhi, the intelligence or the mind. Sometimes we think that that's the seer, that the seer is in our head, but there's something else observing that that's the seer. And that's the soul. And what happens is the soul sees its reflection in the mirror of the mind, and then we mistake this reflection, this distorted reflection, to be the real self. The soul does not change, but the mind is changing. And this rapid changing, this insecure situation, which ultimately leads to the disintegration of what we are identifying as the self, and therefore puts us in duality and fear in that once we have that identification. So it's trying to say that the seer is different than what is seen, and what is seen, it's seen through the mind. In this case, it says the buddhi. And how one sees something that was described, whatever is an object, it makes an impression on the buddhi. If you see a cow, it actually, like clay, it makes a mold in the buddhi. And then as the light of the soul reflects against the mind, then the soul experiences that. So everything we experience is external to the self. But because of this misidentification, we identify it as the self. Just think, one day we'll all die. But we're not dying. But how much are we afraid of that time? How much are we afraid of that time? Because we're so much engrossed in that identification. And therefore, spiritual life is some progressive path to help us abstract ourselves from that identification, because everyone can think now how much suffering that is causing us. Think of your problem right now. It's not happening in you. There's no problem. It's hard to accept that there's actually no problem. But we don't realize it, because that identification, due to the desire to not be what we are, which is a soul, but to be some type of enjoyer and controller, due to that desire. That's why it's so dangerous when we don't follow our duty, we don't follow our dharma, and we act whimsically according to the mind's desire. Because we're reinforcing the very conception that is causing us pain and will cause us intense pain in the future. Then that what we're identifying with us as self disintegrates before our very eyes. So this is trying to make that distinction. It gives the analogy of the water. The moon is reflected on the water, and when the water moves, the moon is appearing to move. The moon is not appearing moving. The water is moving. The moving of the moon is an illusion. So the identification we have now with the self and all its myriads of problems which we take so seriously, based on that identification, is not real. It's a distortion of the self. The self is not having a problem. The only problem the self has is it's witnessing this transformation and identifying with it. This is the child looks at the pot of water, and the pot of water moves, and then suffers. Then the child suffers. Another analogy given here is it describes the soul as like an echo. The soul is like an echo. It bounces back. So consciousness bounces back from the mind, and the reflection back is what one is perceiving. And now, if you want to wait for me, I have to go with my group. I have to take about a 30-second break. Then while I walk there, I'm going to discuss some points, and I think we'll be able to have some fun still. So hold on, please. Hare Krishna, I'd like to share with you now a point. I've been giving class here every day. Excuse me, it's a little cooler than I want. Give me a second to just put on a charter. And let me get this microphone attached here in a proper way. I'm having class here, and it's a really nice time of the year. A lot of nice people are coming. And I think since my Japa book came out, I guess a lot of people appreciate that, and the classes are quite full. But I was talking about faith, this inherent trust in the soul. That the platform of the soul, which is accessible actually with a quiet mind, that the platform of the soul is the something that's always available. Well, immediately it is satisfaction and happiness. Okay. Where is everyone? Okay. 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 I'll be talking. So, and what I was describing is that the nature of this faith, it creates an openness of heart that allows one to experience the soul and spiritual phenomena fully. Those phenomena are present, but our ability to experience them has to do with the condition of the heart. I was giving an example because I was talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was going to Ramuna. Hi, Bo? What? What's that? Just distribute it, everybody, but where is the rest of the people? What? What's that? Okay. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India on pilgrimage, and he visits this temple of Ramuna, and he's going to stay overnight because he wants to taste the Mahaprasadam, the foodstuff that's offered to the Lord. And I described that in the Shastras, it gives examples of, for example, Narada, the monkeys are going to get that in a second. What? Just go back there and quickly hand it out. If we leave in 5 minutes, we'll be okay. Okay, Hare Krishna. Okay. Just hand out a little to everyone. What? Well, hand out a little to everyone. Everyone can get a handful. They should take it, and in 5 minutes, we should get ready to leave. Okay? Nice to see you. Okay. All right, this will give me a few more minutes. But, Yugala? Yeah. The thing is he churns the butter at a certain time, so we should get there soon. Okay. A little 5 minutes. If we leave in 5 minutes and walk quick, we should be there in time. So what happens is you know, like story of Narada Muni, it's described he took the Mahaprasad, the foodstuffs, and immediately all sins are purified. Then there's the example in the Bhagavatam where it says if you hear with faith the spiritual messages of Bhagavatam, Krishna's captured in the heart. Then there's certain statements that, you know, if you bathe in a particular holy river, you can immediately attain perfection. Like they say, if you bathe in Radha Kund, then your eternal form as a maidservant of Srimati Radharani will manifest immediately. So there's all these different statements, and they're actually discussed, and they're discussed in relationship to faith. When you have full faith, then the condition of the heart allows one to experience spiritual phenomena in a very, very profound way. But then there's also the recommendation is, what if you don't have that faith? Well, then the spiritual phenomena, you may not fully manifest, but it will purify one. It'd be an example of a fire. A fire has full potency, but if there's a rag and the rag is drenched in water, then the fire will not become fire in that rag. Hey, Hare Krishna. Hare, Hare. When is Srila Gurudev leaving? When is he leaving? I think he's delaying again and again. I think he may cancel his whole trip and stay. Let's see. He likes it here. Because you take nice care of him. Okay. I'm giving class, you see. There's a phone conference. So people call from different places around the world. And I do this twice. Very nice, yes. Yes. If you're free, come. Yes, you can. Okay. I'm meeting my neighbors outside my house. It's just charming. Just the sweetest devotees, sweetest spiritual people. Really. I mean, faith. They experience a lot. So that rag, when the fire comes with that rag, it dries it. And then eventually the rag becomes fire. So same thing. The spiritual phenomena, when done repeatedly, chanting the mantras of the holy name, hearing the sacred texts, even if you don't have the full faith, by hearing it, it purifies our consciousness in a certain time. And at a particular point, just like that fire in that rag, at a particular point, it alights. So at a particular time, the pure name of Krishna enters in our heart. The Krishna appears in our heart with the Bhagavatam. So I was describing that kind of faith. Therefore, great saints like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, even if he saw one of his servants with Mahaprasad from Lord Jagannath, even if it was one of his disciples, he would pay his obeisances and circumambulate, go around to show respect. So this trust and this faith. Trust means to have faith in some goal. That's what faith means. You have faith in bhakti, you have faith in the sublimity of bhakti. You may not be experiencing the full sublimity now, but you have faith. You pursue that goal because you have trust that the objective will be full sublimity. And along the way, as you're practicing the spiritual process and the effect is taking place more and more, the faith increases. So faith is directed. Is not just something blind, it's based on an immediate experience. It may not be the full manifestation of that spiritual phenomena, but still it's an experience. So that's what I can give today. If anybody would like to say hello or ask any questions, because anybody like to say hello? Anybody still there?
Jai Maharaj, it's Hare Krishna.
Okay. There are people there, right?
Yeah, there's some people on.
Okay, you've got numbers and things. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Yep. Okay, who's that? Gail?
Yep.
Gail, why aren't you here?
Because I want you to invite me with more heart.
Yeah. Gail?
Yes?
You have a lot of chutzpah. Anyway, I will do that. But right now, we're going to go see the cows.
And,
we're going to churn yogurt into butter. So it's really okay. Anybody else like to say hello or ask a question? Anybody else there?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Govardhan.
Govardhan, I so much appreciate your steadiness.
Thanks, Govardhan.
I do. Yeah, it's nice to know. Okay, this is a great time of the year to come, right after Kartik. I have a very nice group here from Israel.
Actually, Bharati's parents are there in Vrindavan, Maharaj.
What's that?
Bharati's parents are there in Vrindavan.
She's in Vrindavan?
Bharati's parents.
They're in Vrindavan. Oh.
Yeah, they are in Govardhan today. Ashti Krishna Prabhu is taking them around.
He's the best person for that, actually. That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. Amazing. Good. Okay, thank you, Govardhan.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello? Sometimes people can't click and unclick the button for some reason. Anyway, it's convenient for me right now to just be with the people I'm with. Thank you all for coming on. Lucky, you just send me the numbers. I know they're all out there. All right.